Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the inaugural edition of the NoCo Bike Show. And this is our, so we were here at Wolverine Press last time. It was a much smaller, mellower event. It was the last of the YGR shows. This is the christening of our new relationship with this space. We think this is gonna be our home. We think this is gonna be our residency. So I'm excited so far. I think this is a good fit. I'm Chris Johnson, Bike 4 Collins.
And I'm Dan Porter with Your Group Ride.
Fantastic. Well, this is NoCo Bike Show. So we're just the monthly show getting together and talking about everything that's going on in the bike community. So without further ado, I want to jump to thanks, special thanks for, obviously, for Wolverine Press for having us here. Thank you to Wolverine Press. They have a lot of really cool community programming, and they're going to let us be here for free for the foreseeable future, so that's really cool. Thank you for our new sponsor. I'll get out of the way so I can read it and everybody else can see it. Urban Mattress have been a really great sponsor for us. Urban Mattress is locally owned. Mattress brands not carried by any other retailer in town. Is Kelly here tonight? Kelly's not here. Sometimes Kelly comes and gives away pillows, which is really cool. Prices for every budget, free delivery. It's the only place in town that does free delivery. 2% of sales to local charities. No high pressure sales. And they got beer in the store. You can get beer while you shop for a mattress on tap. And that's pretty cool. So thanks to Urban Mattress and Wolverine Farm for helping us out. So we'll just jump right into the news from there. Our first news is actually going to be Kenny, but I think Kenny sent an emissary, who is Pete, who is not in the room. Yeah, there you are. Pete, come on up and give us some Overland. You are first. So Pete from Overland Mountain Bike Club. Come on up. Yeah, grab the mic. 5 minutes.
Okay, well, I got a big list here.
Well, read it fast. I'm just going to stand over here.
Now the fun part, I take my glasses off to be able to read. Okay,
5 seconds.
So the important thing right now is Tour de Fat.
10 seconds.
We need volunteers, so anybody that you know that could volunteer, it's a great time.
It's a great time. It's you can actually go over. Kelly has her laptop set up to volunteer, so at the end of the evening or during the evening or whenever, go over there and please register to volunteer. It's a great event. It benefits all 4 different nonprofits in town.
Who are those nonprofits?
Those nonprofits are Bike Fort Collins, the Bicycle Co-op, Overland Mountain Bike Club, and Seclusimo Youth Foundation. Pretty good, huh?
All our favorites.
If you like bike culture in Fort Collins, you really do owe it to those four groups. They're really doing a lot for us. So if you want to help out and you don't want to throw us a chunk of change, just your time on that day is really valuable.
I even have ways to do that. But that's down the list a bit. So I was just going to, in
30
terms
seconds.
Of upcoming events, we have a number of things happening. If you're interested in learning mountain bike skills, we're having a skills ride up at Kurt Gowdy State Park this weekend on Saturday. You just need to show up at Aspen Grove at 9:30 a.m. All the stuff is on the Overland website on our calendar if you need details, or you can even email me if you know, I'll let you know what's going on. It's president at Overland Mountain Bike Club. After Tour de Fat, the day after, which is probably crazy, we're going to be participating in the Wrist Canyon Mountain Festival, which is a benefit for the Wrist Canyon Volunteer Fire Department. We're just going to kind of be up there. It's supposed to be a big party, and we figure we're just going to relax after Tour de Fat. Next thing we have coming up is a race up in Wyoming at Kurt Gowdy State Park. It's called the Stone Temple 8. Some of you may have ridden that before if you've heard about it. It's a really fun, laid-back race. A little bit of a crazy race. It's an 8-hour race. It's a 15.1-mile course with about 1,500 feet of climbing in it, and you just keep on lapping until you finish. It's also a benefit for the high school racing league teams up in Laramie and Cheyenne, and also for the Stone Temple mountain bike camps that are run during the summer for kids up at Kurt Gowdy State Park.
Did that race take a hiatus for a little while?
No, right? It's always been there.
Has
it's
it? Just oh.
It's a really low-key race, so they don't really promote it heavily.
Me but and Ben Miller did it.
We would
several
like
years
it's
ago.
it's been around for a long time. It may have disappeared, but not in the last 7 or 8 years that I've been involved. After that, we have another trail day coming up in Laurie State Park. It's called Friends of Laurie Trail Day. That's one where everybody who loves Laurie State Park gets together and goes and gives some love to the trails at Laurie. That's going to be on Saturday, September 24th. And then the last upcoming event we have is Take a Kid Mountain Biking Day. That's October 1st, a Saturday at Laurie State Park as well. Just a quick rundown of the things that we've been up to. We've actually built a lot of new trail this year. We just finished working on, it's still in process, but we're working on a big section of trail down in Hermit Park, which is between Estes Park and Lyons. It's a county property that they got from HP years ago. It's got some great terrain up there. The trail is about 6.5 miles when it's gonna be done. It'll be a really fun trail for all users. We just finished doing some trail days with the Forest Service up in Young Gulch, which was one of the trails that got burned over and then flooded out in the High Park fire and subsequent heavy rains. So that one's still going to be a couple of year project to get open, but it's moving along. And we also did a trail day up at Kurt Gowdy State Park and did a reroute of the, you know, well-loved Stone Temple Trail. So there's a section, new section on there, and a section that was having some problems. So to wrap up, miscellaneous things. We Overland was lucky enough to have Big Al's do their Big Al's change jar for us in the month of July. And we anybody who ate there during that time, thank you very much. Please, you know, go to their establishment. It's a really good place to get burgers. They raised about $1,200 for our club. And that money goes back into the community for the most part with trail development, other things like that. We've started a trails fund on a GoFundMe account, and it's Overland, it's OMBC Trails Fund on GoFundMe. And all that money, again, is going to be going into trail development. We're doing a lot of trail development. We spent, I believe we've allocated over $30,000 of funds that we raised from things like Tour de Fat to trail work this year. We still have our social rides going on every Wednesday night. Currently, they're up at Blue Sky Trailhead, but they'll be moving down to Spring Canyon Park in September. And to wrap up, we have kind of stalled out on work on our Spring Canyon Bike Skills Park. We've had some, we're kind of working with the city, and we've just had some communication issues. We hope to get some more trail days for that and get that thing finished up before the end of the winter. And that's all I got.
Thank you very much to Overland Mountain Bike Club. Pete Scram, is it, what's Scram, is that right? Right. Okay, so we're pulling up, I think Tessa is our second guest, to talk a little bit about what's going on with the city of Fort Collins. Grab a mic. Do you need your PowerPoint for this?
Yeah.
All right, let me fire that up.
All right, well, thank you, everybody. So I am actually going to be presenting twice tonight, so if I start to see people trickle out the back, now that I've said that, I'll know why. So now I'll be back to talk about a really exciting project that we have coming up, formerly called the Bike Safety Town. There is a new name, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But I did want to just talk about a few things, a few exciting things that are coming up here. So how many of you have heard about the Pitkin Bikeway project? I've only mentioned it, you know, every time over the last year. So hopefully some of you have heard about it by this point. But it is coming soon. We're really excited. It's planned to begin construction in late September, and that construction will carry throughout November. But some of the things that are really exciting about this project that I just want to highlight. So this is what we're calling, or what is actually called, a toucan design intersection. So you may have, what's that? Okay, well, I don't need the laser right yet, but you know, what's interesting about, like the bird. Yeah, so, and interestingly enough, you may have heard of another type of signal that we've used in Fort Collins called a hawk signal. And there are also other signals like puffin. So apparently there was a bird enthusiast that was involved in naming all of these designs and signals. But one thing that's really cool about this design and this intersection is that it, you know, it essentially creates a protected crossing for cyclists. So this is going to be, as you can kind of see in the middle, that's a dedicated bike signal. So as a cyclist, you'll position yourself in the middle of the intersection. You'll have a push button, which will trigger the bike signal, and that will turn green. And once that turns green, essentially you cross the intersection. So we'll see these, and this is kind of a crazy slide, but I'll mention, you know, why I included it here in a minute. And I will use the laser for this one. I'm gonna walk through every line in this slide here. So that type of intersection, the toucan, is going to be installed at Taft Hill and Clearview, at Springfield and Shields, and then also at LeMay and Laurie. So that's all part of the Pitkin Bikeway. It's about a 5-mile corridor. You'll also see other improvements related to striping and wayfinding, which I'll show you a picture here in a minute. So just want to show you, you know, one of the reasons why we decided to go with this type of crossing is the reduced potential for conflict with cyclists. So all I'm going to point out here is the boxes that you see, those denote potential conflicts that may occur with a bicyclist and a vehicle, or a pedestrian and a vehicle. And this is showing, in the background, it's showing an intersection like we have around Fort Collins, where you basically have a pedestrian signal on one side of the intersection. So bicyclists need to navigate over to that one side of the intersection. So what we're seeing is that can create the potential for additional conflicts. So with this new design, the toucan, this is basically showing, you know, when the light turns green for cyclists, you have, like I said before, a protected crossing. So the potential for conflict is pretty much zero in this case if everybody obeys by the traffic control. And the way this is happening is that on the side streets, in this case this is Clearview, vehicles are restricted to right turn only off of those side streets. So you're reducing any potential for conflict with bicyclists when they're crossing. So just kind of a heads up on what's coming up there. You should see more information. We have a web page with the design information if you're interested in looking at that. And you'll also see wayfinding signs all along that corridor. So maybe you've seen these on Remington and Swallow. So this will be the Pitkin Bikeway. So the wayfinding signs as well as the pavement markings just to help guide people along that corridor. So this is very exciting. How many of you have participated in our bicyclist and pedestrian counts in the past? Not very many. Well, there's a chance coming up for everybody to participate in that. So this is something that we've been doing. This is our fifth year. It's basically a volunteer opportunity for us to collect data about bicycling and walking in Fort Collins. We collect counts on trails and at intersections, and it really helps us understand trends in bicycling and walking at different locations across the community. So I say volunteering, but it really is a ton of fun. Ask one of the two people in here that have done it in the past. But different times, different shifts throughout the week. And if you're interested in signing up, we have information on the FC Bikes webpage. Free pizza, prizes. We give out DBA gift cards if that's an incentive for anybody. So check that out. And that chart does look pretty fun to fill out. So, and one of the things that's important about those counts is it helps us to validate our permanent counters. So this is a permanent counter that we have installed on the Mason Trail at Spring Creek. And CSU has actually installed about, I think, 7 of these. And this is just a snapshot from yesterday, looking at, and you probably can't see those numbers, but looking at over the past week, how travel trends have changed with bicycle trips at that. This is the Braden Trail on CSU, for those of you who are familiar. But the previous week, daily trips were averaging about 1,500 to 2,000, and that jumped up to about 7,000 on Monday. So. What's that? All right, so Open Streets. How many of you have participated in Open Streets in the past, our car-free initiative? All right, so we've got our next event coming up on September 18th, and that's Linden right out here, so all the way from Old Town Square up to Willick. So that's about a 2-mile route that'll be car-free and open to people to come out and just enjoy the day and enjoy the public space, and we'll have all sorts of cool activities going on throughout the day. All right, we do seasonal campaigns, so we're in Bike Autumn. So lots of things coming up with classes and just different encouragement events that we have to get people out riding. So check those out. One of the things that we're doing this year is Fall Foliage by Bike Rides, so those are on Fridays. More information on our website about that, so just, you know, nice leisurely bike rides to check out the fall colors. And the other thing, this is new. This is the first time we've done this, so for those of you that are interested in zombies. We have our first zombie smart cycling class that's happening on October 22nd. There will be a zombie theme to everything that goes into that class, including the zombie crawl, bike crawl, I guess. Are you teaching that, Bruce? Bruce is teaching that. So if you're interested, there are still spots open for that. So. And I think this is the last thing I wanted to mention, and then I'll be back. So we're pretty excited about this. This has been a big team effort, and you know, with a lot of help from some of the high school champions, bicycle champions at the high schools. We have been approved to provide mandatory bicycle education at Rocky Mountain High School and Fort Collins High School to all of the freshmen during their orientation class. So that's, I believe, going to be about a 90-minute bicycle safety education class that all freshmen coming into that high school will receive. So that's pretty exciting. I don't know if this is the first in the country, but it's definitely, you know, getting education out to that audience is huge. So we're pretty excited about that, and that's supposed to be starting up this fall. All right, I think that's all.
Anybody have any questions for Tessa while we got her for this part? All right, Tessa Grieger, ladies and gentlemen, cover for me while I come back here. So we'll pull up Kelly McDonald from the Bike Share to talk a little bit about what's coming up with the Bike Share. Kelly McDonald, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, hey everybody. I've got some news about Bike Share. I can't tell you a lot right now, so I'm gonna keep you on the edge of your seat, which is more exciting to be mysterious, right? That's what they say. So Bike Share is hoping to go through a phase 2 launch or expansion. And we're hoping that is going to be the weekend of September 17th and 18th, so just in time for Tessa's Open Streets. We are hoping to expand down the Mason corridor into Midtown. We do know that there will be a station at Swallow and Mason. For those of you who live sort of down south there or maybe work down there, it will be easier for you to commute by bike share and to envelop that in maybe the MAX system. So that's really great. We are still talking with CSU and trying to work with them to get some bike share stations on campus. That is just a long, ongoing process. So keep an eye out for more news about the expansion. It's very exciting to have more bikes and more stations and just keep the old bike library, new bike share, growing.
So how's the first year been so far? So we're 4 months into it. What do the numbers look like? What's the
first year?
I see them out all the time.
Yeah. First year has been great. We have double the bikes than we had with the bike library available at all times right now. So as you would imagine or predict, ridership has gone up exponentially. We've seen more riders, more use out of those bikes than we've ever seen with the bike library, which is our mission. That's what we want to see, is more people on bikes.
Anything for Kelly while we got her up here?
So the new station that's coming online, is that directly from businesses supporting that and paying
for
it? Yeah,
so that is... That's Dellenbach supporting that sponsorship. So that's how a bike share grows, is we get businesses on board to sponsor those stations, whether it's through their philanthropy budget or their marketing budget, or they just want to see more people riding bikes. So if you guys know of any businesses or are a business owner...
Or if you're on an HOA that might have funds for such a thing.
Yeah, an HOA, that would be perfect. That wants to see bike share in your community, outside of your business, whatever. Come either see me or Chris or Tessa or Bruce or Stacy, who's not here right now. But
what was the cost on that again, roughly?
It's hefty.
The user cost is really reasonable, though. Let me tell you about the user cost.
It's about $9,000 for a station, but that gets you 5 bikes, all branded with your company logo, including a station that's totally branded with your company logo, and those bikes are distributed all around town by Pedal Power, so the marketing power there is pretty great. And you can even go in on a station with a few businesses, so if you like 3 businesses around you, it could be $3,000 each, or 5 businesses.
It's worth noting that it's a promotional opportunity, so you don't actually own the bikes, which is actually a good thing, because then you don't own the depreciation and the maintenance and the repairs. So that's actually kind of part of what you're paying for in the sponsorship, is that Zagster, a contractor that does this work, is actually managing the refresh on the bikes, the repair on the bikes, the rebalancing of the bikes. So it's kind of nice. It's pretty low maintenance for the sponsor.
And how long is that $9,000 get you?
That is a yearly sponsorship.
Well, that is expensive.
That's true. Marketing is expensive, though, you know?
Not so bad for an HOA of a big development. So anything else for Kelly while we got Kelly up here? Otherwise, thank you for your time. Thanks, Kelly, for coming up. Check out the bike share. Stay tuned. We'll have some announcements on who's coming. Next up, we got Dan Porter with Your Group Ride, Fort Collins Cycling News Updates. Dan, what's going on? You can look over there, too, so you don't have to look behind you. You can see that far.
I feel like I'm doing the weather now. we're towards the latter half of our race season here in Fort Collins. But as you guys know, we have races going on April through October, end of October, pretty much every single Tuesday night. So if you're lacking for things to do, I don't know what to tell you. There's a Lori mountain bike race is going on right now as we speak. And the last one is next Tuesday. And then right after that, we're going to roll into... the Crazy Joe cross races, which Joe is in Boulder again. Show of hands, who knew Joe Saperstein, the man, the myth? We're not going to get into that. But I've often thought about changing the name of Crazy Joe to Crazy Ronnie, because Ronnie's been hosting the races out at his place for so long. But I just can't shake how crazy Joe was. So we're just going to keep it with that. Anyway, we've been having the Crazy Joe cross races out at Ronnie Bush's place for the last couple of years, and we thought we were going to have a scheduling conflict where we couldn't have them this year, but Ronnie was able to move some things around, and we're going to be out there racing cross bikes for free again for the first 2 Tuesdays. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit here. For the first 2 Tuesdays in September, and then The great people with Ciclismo Youth Foundation have announced that they're going to host two new sets of short track races the last two Tuesdays in September at New Belgium. So those are new races on the schedule that we haven't had before. So that's exciting. But to backtrack a little bit, we've got this is a busy week for us. We've got the final Double Dams time trial is this Thursday. This is everybody's least favorite race to do. It's 14 miles, I think, and it's pretty much the toughest 45 minutes, depending on how fast you are. 38 minutes to an hour and 5 minutes. it's a rough course. I came up with that one when I was feeling particularly out of shape. So that's if you want to get your suffer on, this Thursday is your last real chance to do that. On Saturday, there's a brand new Grand Fondo here in Fort Collins. Jake Arnold and Zach Allison came up with an equally brutal course. It's just a lot longer. So they've got two of them. They've got a 100-mile course. Most it's pretty much 90% gravel, I would say, and then a 50-mile course. So they're rolling out of from New Belgium on Saturday.
That's
morning.
This Saturday. That's this week.
This Saturday. Oh, wow. It, registration
snuck up on me.
Online registration closes Friday at 5, I believe. So it's a great way. The nice thing about Grand Fondos is it appeals to pretty much everybody. You can either go out and you can hammer it like it's a race, and you can compete for the Strava segments and win those. Or if you want to go out and do it in the style of just a century ride or something like that, you can go out and just enjoy yourself too. They've got a lot of great support from New Belgium. Niner Bikes is helping those guys out. And it's really reasonable. A lot of these Grand Fondos are over $250 to do these things. And I think right now, if you register, it's around $70, I think. Anybody know off where they're at right now? Is it 85 right now? Yeah, it's been inching up for the last like 3 months, but still, that's pretty reasonable for these kind of rides. And then on Sunday, I'm hosting a time trial for, it's specifically geared towards people that are going to be doing the Steamboat stage race over Labor Day. The course that I laid out is pretty much identical in distance and elevation to what the Steamboat TT is like, so if you're planning on heading up to that, this is a great way to shake it out the week before. Entry fee is $10. It's online. Well, registration will open up on Friday, but it'll be a good time. Let me check my notes here to make sure I did not forget anything.
I got two race things while we have you up here. So I want to give a shout out to our triathlon winner. What was the triathlon? What did you just win? Yeah, you know who I'm looking at. So Tessa, our humble bike coordinator, just won a triathlon last weekend. What was the triathlon?
Just like a fun race.
But you won your age group in the lake to lake as well. So Tessa's tearing it up a little bit on the triathlon scene.
Two wins and two starts. Is that right? Are you?
Heads up on this would have been good. But, no, it was a sprint triathlon, the women's outdoor divas last weekend, I guess. So yeah, just a fun short race. We're not talking about like the double dam chime. Yeah. So yeah, no, it was fun. Encourage anyone who's interested in that to come out because it's a lot of fun. So
excellent work.
And then I wanted to introduce the newest member of the Northern Colorado race community. It's Adeline back here. Is she up for an introduction? Oh, she's making the rounds already. So congratulations to Tyson and Marie on the latest member of the Adeline Kamen down there. Congratulations, you guys. Thanks for coming out. We got like a two-week-old here. That's amazing. Fantastic. Is Natalie or somebody from Follies here? I know Natalie was going to come. So, okay, great. Whoever is prepared to give a little bit of an update on? Come on up. Just a quick little whatever's going on with the Fort Follies. The Fort Follies is, tell us about Fort Follies and what you're up to.
Yeah, I was going to say, join me.
Bring up
the Fort Follies is a women's cycling group in town, and we have mountain bikers, and we have road bikers, and I think we have some triathletes too. And so the group rides that we're mainly hosting right now are Sunday group rides for road bike and for mountain bike, but then we also have, I've been leading Wednesday night, I've been calling them Wee Peets. because I didn't want to go to Wednesday Night Worlds. And I wanted to do something hard, and it's fun, and we go out, and we meet at Beavers, usually around 6:30. It kind of depends on what my work schedule is looking like. And then we ride out to Bingham, and we go back and forth as many times as we feel like before we get too cranky. So it's been like if there and back is one, I think the most we've done is four. So like that's kind of what we're doing in terms of the Follies right now.
And we were just going to talk about some volunteering opportunities. Again, Tour de Fat, they're still looking for volunteers. You can start at 8 o'clock in the morning or go all the way up to 11. All sorts of information on New Belgium. And then across the north, we're looking for volunteers too. That's the second weekend in October. So Abby's in charge of that. Give one her number. I got it. I'm not going to.
Yeah, and I was going to say, all of our rides, like, we're trying to get more women out and more women into riding and also into racing. I tried really, really hard to get as many women to come to Tuesday Night Crits as I could. I think we got 10, which was just, like, the most I've ever seen, which I know maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot of work to try and get women out and to get really excited about it. But that doesn't mean that we're women only in terms of our rides. Like, everyone is welcome to come. I also created Wednesday Night Repeats to, like, get my booty handed to me. Like, I go out and I just chase and chase and chase and chase and chase and I get better every week, but I never freaking win. So it's just like, that's what we're about. So like anyone is welcome to join us for anything that we do. And
yeah,
if you know any women who want to ride.
Right, all ages, all levels, everybody's welcome. Yeah. I'm just new to cycling, so I'm out there most of the time.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Follies. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, a little bit of Cross of the North news. Oh.
Okay, so it's not exactly Follies, but there's Babe Cross. Do you want to talk about it? Yeah.
Bring it up. You got to be on mic. We record this.
It's kind of a Follies event, but not really. It's not. Okay, I should talk about it. Yeah, Salvador goes on Babe Cross a lot. So I started Babe Cross with my friend Mary because I'm... I can explain this, I think, myself. So I started it because I'm like a back-of-the-pack Cat 4 cross racer for the first time last fall, and I just, like, didn't really know anybody and wanted a place to, like, practice cross and was riding the river trails by myself at, like, night, and it was kind of sketchy. So I started... I wanted to have a group ride back there, and I don't know if any of you did David Cross several years ago, like six, I don't know. It was a weird Forner Smith thing. We fashioned it after that, but wanted to keep it ladies only initially just to kind of keep it welcoming to everybody and not really make it like a race thing. And now it's kind of turned in. I don't know if you've gone on group rides, you know what I'm talking about. It's, but yeah, so I have been running it through Brave New Babes, which is this group. It's not a club. It's not a team. It's just an outlet for women. Mostly we keep it to mountain biking, but there's definitely some road rides that run through them. Because I'm on Follies, but I also wanted an outlet for, like, absolute beginners for mountain biking, specifically women. And this has been the second summer, and I think it's really grown. And we have, like, very few requirements. You have to bring... like, stuff to fix a flat and a good attitude, and that's about it, and a helmet, I guess. But we really focus on doing trails that are, like, anybody can do and taking your time and making it welcoming for everybody. So if you're interested in, like, maybe going on some fun cross rides or drinking beers by the river, that's what Babe Cross is. There's, like, the only official outlet is a Facebook event that I make every week, so it's not... you can talk to, there's, how many people have done it? There's a handful. Yeah, so any of those people know. And if anybody that actually knows how to, like, do cyclocross stuff wants to come out and maybe show us how to do things like that, that would be sweet. Last time we were just, like, bunny hopping over curves and stuff, so we don't really know what we're doing. And Babe Cross, or I guess Brave New Babes, if you're a lady that wants an outlet for, like, just... fun mountain biking. There's a few of us here already, so that's all I got.
Thank you very much. Babe Cross. Betsy with Babe Cross. Hey, that's me. I don't know. This is like roulette. I never know what's up when I click the button. I don't know who's going to be coming up. But it's us, Bike 4 Collins. So we just got a couple of things coming up. The bike-friendly business, if you don't know, Fort Collins leads the country in League of American Bicyclists certified bike-friendly businesses with a comfortable, cushy, we had 13 more than second and third place, with 53 bike-friendly businesses. We really believe in the program. We think it's more than just a stamp you can put in your window. It's being part of a network and part of a community of bike businesses that recognize the value that that's supporting and enabling both their customers and their staff to appeal to cyclists is good for business, in addition to being good for the environment and good for your health and everything. So we have a couple of things coming up. We have our Bikes and Business Mixer, which we did with this second time doing it. It's a Galvanize. It's free of charge. It's open to anybody. It's not just for the existing bike-friendly businesses. If you're interested in learning more about bike-friendly business, come in. It's mostly a social and a networking opportunity. We will throw in a little bit of a program with maybe some people talking about their experience, but mostly it's just an opportunity to get to know other people that are in, whether it's in the industry or other bike-friendly businesses, or learn more about it if you're interested in getting involved. After that, question, what? And it's fun. It's a good time, right? So, and then our Bike-Friendly Business Workshop, which is a little bit more focused. It's us. It's basically Bike Fort Collins and our networking, our Bike-Friendly Business Development team, helping you put in your application. So if you're interested, if you're with a business that's interested in becoming a bike-friendly business, we can help you shape your application. And then the deadline is actually October 13th, a couple weeks later, so between the workshops. So we kind of do this on purpose, so it's like a recruit, help you do it, and then the deadline, and then we'll know a couple weeks after that, maybe 3 or 4 weeks after that, what if we get any more bike-friendly businesses, we hope we do, and if anybody that's platinum or is bronze wants to make it their way up to gold or platinum, we'll find that out too. So it's a great program. If you have a business, or you work for business, or you know of a business that might be interested, that is bike-friendly, that wants to become more bike-friendly, that wants to take advantage of being part of the network, send them our way. We have it's bikefortcollins.org/BFB, or you can just find any one of us.
Is there a minimum number of employees?
There's not. The organ company, Steinberg Pipe Organ, has 2 employees, and they are a bike-friendly business. And there's no.
Could your group ride be a bike-friendly business?
We could talk. Yeah, sure. You betcha. We'll give it a shot. I think we could get you in there. Yeah. Come to the mixers. Yeah, come check it out. So that's what's going on there. Budgeting for outcomes. So we had the last one, which about 6 people were here, but we appreciate those of you who were. We talked a lot about the budgeting process for the city, which is just about to go to council. The month of September is a really important month for transportation budget. That's the month when the executive leadership team for the city, this is so dry, but it's really important, you guys. The executive leadership team for the city presents their budget recommendation to council on September 2nd. For the month of September, from the 2nd until the 27th, the council reviews that and deliberates and has we as an advocacy organization, other advocacy organizations, try to kind of bend their ears and try to get them to support the items that we want funded. So we have a pretty decent, from what we're hearing, we have a pretty decent feeling about transportation funding this cycle, so that's hopefully going to be good news, and hopefully the bike program and the transportation program in general, especially sustainable transportation, will get a lot of what we're asking for, but specifically, our recommendation is on our website, but just a couple of things that we were really forceful in recommending were Sunday bus service, which is like kind of a why aren't we doing it already? Safe routes to school program, the bicycle, FC Bikes promotional programming, which is things like bike to work day and open streets and similar education and engagement programming. FC walks, so the city's interested in having an FC walks program that functions similar to the FC Bikes program that Tessa runs, which I think would be really, really great. There's a discussion about whether these, you know, whether mass transit and whether bike advocacy and pedestrian advocacy are really overlapping in the way that we suggest that they are. And I think it's important, really, anything that gets people out of their cars and gets people a chance to make decisions other than driving a private vehicle is probably good for road safety and probably good for mitigating congestion and air quality and road safety. So we're really, really strongly in support of FC bikes or FC walks and Sunday bus service. I jumped ahead. Wait, where the heck am I? Way ahead now. So the Low Stress Network, you guys have probably seen the beginning of this. This is one of the coolest things we got going on. Tess has put a lot of work into the wayfinding for the Low Stress Network, which is basically, you know, when it's completed, you could pretty much get from any place else in town on a low stress, low volume, low speed, non-arterial road that'll get you there as quickly or pretty close to as quickly as the big roads will without having to deal with fast cars, high volume, and crazy traffic and stuff. And that's, they put a lot of work into it, and we want to keep going and go to the next phase on it. And the city bridge repair program. So we did a poll. I guess, thank you if you took the poll. We really appreciate it. We got a bunch of responses for it. And the number one thing that people requested in the poll, what the number one funding offer that was requested was city bridge repair, which kind of surprised us. I thought it'd be some of the others would be higher up, but I guess people really are concerned that the bridges are a safety bottleneck in town. I think I can see that. I think we all probably agree with that. So those are our offers that we put in. Our letter is online. We'll have another round of polling and some other stuff as we go into this next month. But it's it's a little dry, but it's really important, and it helps shape the, you know, the city's priorities for the budget. And that's where the, you know, the rubber hits the road. So upcoming BFO round two, November election, we're going to be pulling all the candidates for our November elections. That's commissioners and some other commissioner and state elections are coming up. So keep an eye out for those. Those maybe will inform how you vote. And then our bike-friendly development program, which is really exciting. We're just kind of getting it off the ground, but the idea of working with local developers to make their developments look a little bit more bike-friendly and have, you know, have things built in the first place, so we don't have to kind of retrofit and correct, you know, fix things that were done wrong in the first place. So we're really excited to just kind of be getting that off the ground, but it's super cool. So I think we'll just do, I think we kind of did this, but Bruce, if you want to come up for a quick second and just give one final pitch for Bike Tour de Fat volunteering. So Bruce Henderson from Bike Fort Collins.
Yeah, since nobody's mentioned Tour de Fat tonight, we still need a couple hundred volunteers, and there's a laptop right over there, so you can just walk right over before you leave the room. Everybody needs to do that.
What's volunteer in it for them?
So this is September 3rd. It's coming up in about a week and a half. It's on Saturday. So the cool thing about it, you can volunteer as an individual, you can volunteer as a group. We'll let you, we'll schedule you together if you want to do that. You could have like themed costumes as a group and come up and volunteer and work together and that sort of thing. So this is a pitch to you, but not just for you. So mention it at work. I mean, it's on the web. You can go to New Belgium's website and you can find it out there also, but talk to your coworkers, talk to your significant others, your friends, anybody about it, because we really seriously do need additional volunteers. You can work early in the morning if you want to like get it out of the way to party or that sort of thing. And if you don't want to miss the parade, in fact, you can volunteer helping get waivers signed for parade goers, parade marshals, that sort of thing. You can be walking in and amongst the parade revelers the whole time. You can work selling tokens and wristbands, or not selling wristbands, giving out wristbands, serving beer, helping with teardown, things like that. There's jobs all day long. So, Tour de Fat.
Is there any incentives for volunteers, Bruce?
There are, thank you. Since you mentioned that, you get 2 free beer tokens, a 10% discount coupon for merch, and our undying gratitude. And the party, I forgot about the party. And what's the date for the party? I'd forgotten already. 13th? Okay. So,
yeah. Apparently you can win a bike at the party.
There will be free beer at the party, yeah.
Let's shape it up.
The party will be, in fact, the new Liquid Center room is going to be opening in New Belgium, and the party is going to be there. So it's going to be one of the first things there. Yes. If you're going to be gone, is there anything you can do beforehand? Probably not. We've got people already doing that stuff now, but thank you for the offer.
Share the ask on
but
Facebook.
But you can share the ask. Yeah, absolutely. Any other questions or other things I missed? Cool.
So we're wrapping up news. I think
That's a great way to be part of Tour de Fat if you've done Tour de Fat and came away from it really annoyed in the past. I don't know if I'm getting old or what, but now Tour de Fat annoys me. It's more fun to watch, so volunteering could be a great outlet.
So that's it for the news. So thank you again to Urban Mattress for sponsoring the news section.